Now to the diary itself. What I'll be reading now are Earl Turner's own words, exactly as he wrote them in his diary, except for the occasional editorial notes to the reader inserted by Andrew MacDonald. The first entry is dated September 16, 1991. Today, it finally began. After all these years of talking and nothing but talking, we have finally taken our first action. We are at war with the system, and it is no longer a war of words. I cannot sleep, so I will try writing down some of the thoughts which are flying through my head. It is not safe to talk here. The walls are quite thin, and the neighbors might wonder at a late-night conference. Besides, George and Catherine are already asleep. Only Henry and I are still awake, and he's just staring at the ceiling. I am really uptight. I am so jittery I can barely sit still. And I'm exhausted. I've been up since 5:30 this morning when George phoned to warn that the arrests had begun, and it's after midnight now. I've been keyed up and on the move all day. But at the same time, I'm exhilarated. We have finally acted. How long we will be able to continue defying the system, no one knows. Maybe it will all end tomorrow, but we must not think about that. Now that we have begun, we must continue with the plan we have been developing so carefully ever since the gun raids 2 years ago. What a blow that was to us, and how it shamed us. All that brave talk by patriots, quote, "The government will never take my guns away," unquote, and then nothing but meek submission when it happened. On the other hand, maybe we should be heartened by the fact that there were still so many of us who had guns then, nearly 18 months after the Cohen Act had outlawed all private ownership of firearms in the United States. It was only because so many of us defied the law and hid our weapons instead of turning them in that the government wasn't able to act more harshly against us after the gun raids. I'll never forget that terrible day, November 9th, 1989. They knocked on my door at 5 in the morning. I was completely unsuspecting as I got up to see who it was. I opened the door, and 4 Negroes came pushing into the apartment before I could stop them. One was carrying a baseball bat, and 2 had long kitchen knives thrust into their belts. The one with the bat shoved me back into a corner and stood guard over me with his bat raised in a threatening position, while the other 3 began ransacking my apartment. My first thought was that they were robbers. Robberies of this sort had become all too common since the Cohen Act, with groups of blacks forcing their way into white homes to rob and rape, knowing that even if their victims had guns, they probably would not dare use them. Then the one who was guarding me flashed some kind of card and informed me that he and his accomplices were special deputies for the Northern Virginia Human Relations Council. They were searching for firearms, he said. I couldn't believe it. It just couldn't be happening. Then I saw that they were wearing strips of green cloth tied around their left arms. As they dumped the contents of drawers on the floor and pulled luggage from the closet, they were ignoring things that robbers wouldn't have passed up. My brand new electric razor, a valuable gold pocket watch, a milk bottle full of dimes. They were looking for firearms. Right after the Cohen Act was passed, all of us in the organization had cached our guns and ammunition where they weren't likely to be found. Those in my unit had carefully greased our weapons, sealed them in an oil drum, and spent all of one tedious weekend burying the drum in an 8-foot-deep pit 200 miles away in the woods of western Pennsylvania. But I had kept one gun out of the cache. I had hidden my .357 Magnum revolver and 50 rounds of ammunition inside the door frame between the kitchen and the living room. By pulling out 2 loosened nails and removing 1 board from the door frame, I could get to my revolver in about 2 minutes flat if I ever needed it. I had timed myself. But a police search would never uncover it, and these inexperienced blacks couldn't find it in a million years. After the 3 who were conducting the search had looked in all the obvious places, they began slitting open my mattress and the sofa cushions. I protested vigorously at this and briefly considered trying to put up a fight. About that time, there was a commotion out in the hallway. Another group of searchers had found a rifle hidden under a bed in the apartment of the young couple down the hall. They had both been handcuffed and were being forcibly escorted toward the stairs. Both were clad only in their underwear, and the young woman was complaining loudly about the fact that her baby was being left alone in the apartment. Another man walked into my apartment. He was a Caucasian, although with an unusually dark complexion. He also wore a green armband, and he carried an attaché case and a clipboard. The blacks greeted him deferentially and reported the negative result of their search. "No guns here, Mr. Tepper." Tepper ran his finger along the list of names and apartment numbers on his clipboard until he came to mine. He frowned. "This is a bad one," he said. "He has a racist record, been cited by the council twice, and he owned 8 firearms which were never turned in." Tepper opened his attaché case and took out a small black object about the size of a pack of cigarettes, which was attached by a long cord to an electronic instrument in the case. He began moving the black object in long sweeps back and forth over the walls, while the attaché case emitted a dull, rumbling noise. The rumble rose in pitch as the gadget approached the light switch, but Tepper convinced himself that the change was caused by the metal junction box and conduit buried in the wall. He continued his methodical sweep. As he swept over the left side of the kitchen door frame, the rumble jumped to a piercing shriek. Tepper grunted excitedly, and one of the Negroes went out and came back a few seconds later with a sledgehammer and a pry bar. It took the Negro substantially less than 2 minutes after that to find my gun. I was handcuffed without further ado and led outside. Altogether, 4 of us were arrested in my apartment building. In addition to the couple down the hall, there was an elderly man from the 4th floor. They hadn't found a firearm in his apartment, but they had found 4 shotgun shells on his closet shelf. Ammunition was also illegal. Mr. Tepper and some of his deputies had more searches to carry out, but 3 large blacks with baseball bats and knives were left to guard us in front of the apartment building.